safe, and Chris will be joining me very shortly, but we're here tonight for another special Coach's Corner edition of the College CrossCast. This time around, we got Marist Men's Lacrosse head coach Keegan Wilkinson on board to join us tonight. Coach Wilkinson has been the head coach at Marist ever since being an assistant from 2009 to 2012. He took the reins of the head coaching position in 2012, and ever since, Marist has reached new heights in the NAAC, heading to the NCAA tournament in 2015 as undefeated conference champions, and the Red Foxes have finished no lower than second place under his helm. Additionally, he's been the two-time NAAC Coach of the Year in men's lacrosse, and has also been a finalist for National Coach of the Year in that same time period. On this podcast, we talked to him about how he got into the sport of lacrosse, his time with the Red Foxes, and what he expects out of his group in the future as the Red Foxes continue to be one of the best mid-major teams on a consistent basis in the NCAA level. So without further ado, here's our conversation with him, and we hope you enjoy. As usual, just leave us some feedback on Google Play and iTunes with star ratings and some comments. Let us know what we do great, and we hope you enjoy our conversation with Coach Wilkinson. And welcome aboard, Coach Wilkinson, to College CrossCast. Thanks again for joining us and for being so gracious to hop on board out of your time. How are you doing this evening?
Absolutely, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm doing great. We are in the middle of our fall ball practice slate here and heading into a big weekend with the Eddie Coombs tournament on our campus on Sunday. So we're right in the mix of things, and it's been a great start to the fall. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
No, Coach, you know, it's definitely, we're really excited about today's show. I definitely wanted to ask you about the tournament coming up this weekend, but I guess we always kind of start with just getting to know you, our guest on first. So if you could just let the audience know where you're from and, you know, how you got into lacrosse.
Absolutely. I grew up in Maryland, which is pretty ironic that now I'm making my way up north into New York for the last 10 years. So I grew up in Maryland and was really fortunate to go to a great high school in Maryland, in DeMatha High School, right outside D.C., pretty close to College Park there, which has some really, really rich sports tradition. And I was really fortunate to play for one of the best coaches. I'm a guy that deserves an enormous amount of credit for some of the players he's produced at DeMatha, which is Coach Dick Long. And I was really lucky to play with some great teammates there. Had a great experience playing with guys like Steve and Billy Looney, who went on to have great careers at Naval Academy. Two great friends of mine that I'm awful proud of that are now serving the country as Navy SEALs. And another guy, Will Jones, who is also a SEAL. Pretty awesome first-line midfield there with three Navy SEALs playing together. We had a lot of success. I was really excited to learn this about 2-3 weeks ago that we're actually going to be inducted to the DeMatha Hall of Fame, our 2001 lacrosse team. So something that's really humbling, and I know we're all excited about it because that was a team that kind of laid the foundation for who we all were as players and as young men. A really tough group of guys that, you know, had a chip on their shoulder and didn't really back down from anybody. And that kind of laid the foundation for all of us. And a lot of guys went on to tremendous careers and stayed in close touch. But I ended up at St. Joe's University in Philly and had a great experience there playing for 4 years. Was a two-time captain there and actually played against a lot of the guys that I then ended up coaching at Marist, which was a pretty cool twist on that, having the opportunity to actually compete against some of those guys while I was a college player at St. Joe's. And then J.M. Simpson hired me as an assistant, and I made my way up to Marist, and I've been here for 10 years and had a great, great experience, and couldn't be more proud to be the head coach now, going into year 7 as head coach.
Oh, I definitely had a follow-up real quick. I mean, how was your time in Philly? I mean, you have two very partisan Philly fans, and Chris and myself. I know St. Joe's a little bit outside the city, but, you know, still on City Ave. I don't know, any good memories from back your time down here?
Yeah, I thought Philly was amazing, especially as a college athlete, you know, not only from a lacrosse standpoint, but, man, there's some such great rivalries there. And on the lacrosse field, I was really fortunate to play in some really big rivalry games against Drexel and Villanova and some of the local schools while player at St. Joe's. I had some really, really great games. Some guys that are now in coaching that we used to battle with a ton at Drexel, and Steve Grossi, who's doing a great job down at Richmond, and Matt Busey, who's also having a great run here at Providence with one of my close friends, Matt Francis. They're doing a great job up there. So just the experience to play in such, you know, heated contests against guys that you saw all the time because Philly was such a tight-knit community. But obviously my favorite experience was having the opportunity to beat Villanova, who was one of our biggest rivals under the lights as a senior. I think it was 3 or 4 overtime game at St. Joe's. That was a huge win for us and something that we definitely all take a lot of pride in. And having that last victory over Villanova as seniors.
Holy war. Gotta love it. yeah, Philly guy myself. I kind of like Nova and Sages as well. But take me back to when you, after you graduated from St. Joe's, what led you into coaching? What made you want to coach and continue lacrosse in your career?
Yeah, I always had such a strong passion for it. Obviously, being a member of some really outstanding teams growing up at DeMatha and then having a chance in a leadership role at St. Joe's as a captain was something that really, you know, sparked my interest in having the opportunity to lead young men and be in front of a team like that. And I thought that getting into coaching was something that really interested me and was really fortunate to have an opportunity at Marist at, you know, only 22 years old, which was really cool for me. And obviously, I was incredibly young and have grown a lot in that time. But having that opportunity to get to a Division I school and work with a guy that's now one of my best friends in JM, I cannot begin to describe how lucky I am to have worked for Scott Nelson for 3 years as an assistant coach, a guy that I have tremendous respect for and had a ton of success at Nazareth. And then great career at Brown and Marist, obviously. He taught me an incredible amount of things in terms of how to operate a program and the things that were really important to creating a winning culture at an institution. And I'm really grateful for my time with Scott and wish him the best out of Pfeiffer. But that was kind of how I got into it and, you know, tried to lay the foundation of a lot of hard work and putting in a lot of hours to prove to people that this was something that was really important to myself and to influence some of the guys in the program to show them, you know, that if we did work hard, we could turn around the team that when I first got here, you know, we started the season, I believe we were 0-11, and we ended up with 2 or 3 wins that year, and it was a really, really steep hill that we climbed, and now to see the success that the program's having in just 10 short years with a ton of great out-of-conference wins and being in the conference championship 4 years in a row, you know, is something that if you told me that 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have believed you, but that's been the hard work on a lot of great players and some amazing guys that have come in here and worked under me as assistants, so eternally grateful to the guys that really built the foundation to see where we've been now 10 years later.
Now, when you were offered the head coaching position back in the end, summer of 2011 into the 2012 season, you were arguably one of the youngest guys to be heading into the head coaching ranks in the NCAA level. Was there kind of a time where you were like, were you kind of wanting to go head first into it right off the bat at an early age, or did you kind of have second thoughts of it? You know, maybe I'm kind of young, or was it kind of the opportunity that presented itself, considering you're an assistant and the opening was there, that you decided, you know, grab it by the horns and take it and go from there? And, you know, even though you're a young guy, you're more than capable to, you know, take over a job like that.
Yeah, there's obviously a huge learning curve for me, and I think having the ability to work under Scott, like I said, was a big, big part of having me prepared for that opportunity. I don't think it was something that, you know, really intimidated me. I think because I'd been so comfortable being here at Marist and helping, you know, recruit a lot of the student athletes that were then going to be there in my first year as head coach, I think definitely eased that transition. You know, if I'd been going to a different school and trying to lay the foundation somewhere else, I think that would have been extremely difficult. Absolutely. So I think that helped a lot, you know, and having the ability to know the different people on campus and working hand in hand with a lot of the folks here at Marist for my first 4 years as an assistant was something that made that transition a lot easier. And then obviously, you know, the relationships that I built with the guys in the program was full speed ahead as soon as, you know, we got the job and I was able to bring in some great assistants to kind of lay that, you know, down and get back on the recruiting trail. And we were able to get some great players up here really early, which helped, you know, speed up that success.
Coach, yes, I mean, you've had remarkable success at Marist, but I was happy you mentioned your assistants. I was wondering, how did you go about forming your staff? Did any personal connections or just through the game that you are able to connect with Coach Gongas, Zuma, and Galazzi as your trainer?
Yep, so when I first took over, I was fortunate to bring in one of our alums, Dan Lang, as an assistant coach in a graduate assistant role, and then one of my teammates at St. Joe's, Frank Abrazzini, we were captains together at St. Joe's, and he had some experience at the Division III level. He came on, did a great job, helped develop two guys in Connor Rice and Jack Doherty, you know, that were all conference player of the year caliber guys, and Frank did an awesome job before moving on to Denver and Colorado College. But the biggest thing, and the biggest thing and the turning point in this program was the ability to bring Mike Gongas on staff, somebody that has a ton of experience at the Division I level and just is the most compassionate, relentless, hardworking, tough-nosed guy that you could ever imagine. And Mike and I have, you know, been able to work hand-in-hand the last 4 years together in an opportunity that's not easy. You know, there's some staffs in the country that have, you know, four assistants and a director of operations and a volunteer and all sorts of different things, and a lot of the things that have happened here over the last 4 years, Mike and I have had a big part of, you know, and then we've been really fortunate to have some good graduate assistants. Ethan Fox, who played for us, did a tremendous job before moving on after finishing his master's, and now we're really excited to bring J.D. Ricord back this year. He's joining us now as a young graduate assistant after a tremendous four-year career here. So it's been a work in process. It's been something that's required a ton of patience and a lot of opportunity to coach up also our assistant coaches, our younger guys that are coming in as GAs. But I can't say enough about Mike and what he's brought to this program. He's somebody that is incredibly important to our success, and I'm really, really lucky that he's back for a fifth year this year.
Coach, you've mentioned the youth of this team and the youth of the graduate assistants, especially in the core, and especially, I mean, yourself. You're only young, early 30s, and you just got work just in college about a decade ago. As a head coach, is it easier being this young to understand what some of the players' mindset is being in college? You know, they want to have a little bit of fun, but also want to play lacrosse. Is it easier to communicate to these players?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that has helped us have a lot of success is, you know, that ability to communicate with the guys, you know, on a daily basis, whether they're coming in to talk about academics or social life or sit down and watch film together. That's something that's been really easy and a great transition for us is the ability to sit down and really relate to these guys and know what they're going through. But I think one of the things that I can't emphasize enough and that we're most proud of is the fact that no matter how close we are with the guys or what a tight relationship we have with them, when we hit the field and practice starts and we step on that field, it's all business. And that's something that's, you know, been tremendously important to our, you know, where we've become as a program is the fact that when we hit the field, whether it's practice, a game, scrimmage, or in a weight room session, something, film session, these guys are ready to work, you know, and it's been that way since day one. So that's something that shows a tremendous amount of maturity from the players on the roster, having that ability to sit down and talk with us about anything under the sun, but also get down to work when it's time to get to work.
And now, in your time at Marist as head coach, the Red Foxes have seen quite a bit of success under your helm. Three seasons with at least 10 wins, the NCAA tournament berth in 2015, and also with the increase in exposure in the NAAC, like last year's NAAC championship game was aired on ESPNU. How much fun is it, and also how much pride do you take in that, you know, Marist is really building something and starting to get its name out there in the lacrosse community, too, with that added exposure of making conference championship games and NCAA tournaments?
Yeah, it's something that we take a lot of pride in, but it's certainly not something that we're, you know, taking for granted or going, you know, and resting on. It's something that motivates us, actually, is some of the things that we've done and some of the success that we've had. You know, we still have that chip on our shoulder and that mindset that we were often overlooked and, you know, constantly being passed on, and people don't, you know, take some of our success for granted. You know, we have wins over every conference in the country. Since I took over as head coach and our staff got together, everyone against every conference in the country except the Ivy League and the ACC. And we lost to Brown by a goal a few years ago in overtime. We lost to Duke by a goal, you know, my first year as head coach in 2012. So you're two goals away from having a win against every team in the country. And I think that's something that, you know, we take tremendous pride in, having wins. Michigan, Towson, Stony Brook, when they're eighth in the country, Marquette, Air Force, and Hofstra, among others. It's something that, you know, not only, you know, we're proud of, but motivates us to continue going and getting back to work every day to prove our worth, you know, and to show people that we are for real. And that, you know, the result of hard work and passion about your program and your dedication can be, you know, seen with the results that we've had over the last 6 years.
Coach, I think maybe fair to say that 2015 was a high watermark for your short tenure at Marist. Could you let us in on like how it felt to get you know, everything come together in that way, especially coming off of the, you know, 6-9 season the year prior, but still making the you know, being a player in the MAC to going undefeated in the MAC. I remember that season was, you guys were one of the most entertaining teams to watch offensively with Ricor and Raiden as well. So just, you know, if you could just take us back to the 2015 year a little bit for us.
Yeah, 2015 was definitely the high mark. You finished 14-4. A lot of amazing games that year. I think that Brown game that we lost, actually, you know, is probably the most unknown great game in the country. They went up 10-1 on us before we could blink, and the guys fought back, showed a tremendous amount of resiliency, and ended up going into overtime. You know, and I think that's something that really gave the guys a strong passion to continue to prove themselves. But you looked at that roster, you have Patrick Eaker, who was a three-time LSM of the year in the conference. You have Joe Raiden, who's the all-time leading goal scorer in the MAC conference. J.D. Ricor is second all-time in points in the conference. Yeah, just a ton of guys, but I think the guys that often get overlooked, maybe not them, they got a lot of, you know, great exposure, but, you know, often I talked about now, we had two midfielders, you know, that a lot of people thought were ACC caliber midfielders, and Drew Neesmith and Mike Begley. Those are guys that did everything for us, from playing offense and defense to taking wings, playing in the middle of the field, and like you said, a tremendous amount of excitement that year, and a lot of that hinged on those two players in the middle of the field and Pat Eaker at LSM. So, yeah, guys all over the roster, and I think that's something that, you know, proved to the guys that through hard work and getting some great players on campus and staying dedicated to our mission, we could, you know, play with anybody. And I think that's something that motivates the guys every morning now, is seeing that team and the success that they had and the close relationships that we have with the players on that roster. You know, it's something that gets us hungry every day to continue to strive to get greatness.
Ever since that year when you won the MAC, you've still been competing in conference play. In 2016, you just fell to Quinnipiac in the MAC championship game, and then last year just fell to Monmouth by one in that championship game. Now you guys return a good amount of seniors, including Gannon Morrison at attack, and your stud goalie in Brian Corrigan. Monmouth loses a ton of guys since most of their players are seniors. Quinnipiac is still left. So it seems like you guys open up as a favorite to win the MAC. How do you guys, how are you approaching this season for 2018?
Yeah, I think obviously coming off a loss in the championship is something that, you know, leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, but you can't say enough about Monmouth and what Coach Fisher's done down there in just 4 years. I mean, those guys were really rolling last year. We have an incredible amount of respect for that team and that program, and obviously Quinnipiac, what they've been able to do over the last few years. So it's always going to be a dogfight in our league. That's one of the, you know, great things that I have and can share with the players is I actually played in the league as well at St. Joe's. So I've had been in this league for 14 years now and know that it's always going to be a dogfight and it's never going to be easy. But we're really excited, obviously, about what we bring back. I think that Gannon Morrison is one of the better midfielders in the country. He's a guy that has 118 points in 3 years and has done it consistently since he arrived on campus. Got guys in Brian Corrigan in the goal. He's been in the top 10 in every goalie statistical category since he became a starter 2 years ago. Somebody that I think deserves a ton of recognition leading into this year. Brian's been amazing since he stepped foot in goal, and I think he's really lucky to have learned from a guy like Dave Scarcello, who's now an assistant coach at BMI, and did a great job while he was up here. So, you know, building the team behind guys like Gannon and Brian is something that we're excited about. We got a lot of great young guys coming up through the ranks that, you know, I think with some continued hard work and dedication, we'll continue to climb the mountain and get better and better. But this season, we're going to be, you know, really rolling behind guys like Gannon and Brian, and also our close defense, and now has a ton of experience in James Sirocco, Ralph Sommer, and Billy Andrell. Those are guys we're excited about. And Nick Knight, LSM 44 for Pat Eaker. He's a guy that has, you know, great experience, has covered a lot of tremendous midfielders across the country, and he's going to have his hands full with our schedule this year. But we hope it's something that prepares us for an intense MAC play with Monmouth and all those other teams that have done a great job building their programs over the last couple of years.
And in speaking of building programs, I always like to ask about, the recruiting process and everything with coaches. Marist is in a pretty unique geographical spot. It's in the Hudson River Valley, but you have access, you know, you have the New York City metropolitan area right below you, and then you're also not too far away from the capital region as well. So although it's a very competitive recruiting area, given that you have all the schools in the New York area, you have Albany and Siena upstate, but at the same time, that's a lot of talent kind of in two backyards of yours there in there outside of Poughkeepsie, as well as one in its own right in the Hudson River Valley. So in terms of your approach towards recruiting, how beneficial is it being in that area between two big hotbeds, and as well as helping to attract recruits outside of maybe those traditional areas too to come on board to Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Obviously, our location is second to none. You know, we're about an hour and a half north of New York City, like you mentioned, and then, you know, having the ability to touch areas like Long Island and New Jersey and upstate New York has been really, really important. When we first got here, the roster, you know, was littered with players from that tri-state area, and I think something that's helped us grow as a program is our ability to reach out and get some great players from the Virginia and the Maryland area. And we just graduated a player from the state of Washington, Clayton Frank, who was a great kid for us here. So the school offers an amazing product, you know, not only from an athletic resources standpoint, but the academic resources here and the campus are incredibly top-notch. And I think one of the really cool things is it's become one of the most popular schools in the tri-state area. So our ability to really connect in this area has been incredibly important to us. Right now, about 55% of our roster is from Long Island, and I think that's a real strong point and something that we focused on as a staff, is we really wanted to own Long Island, and that was a big product in building this roster. And with the guys coming in, was getting on Long Island and playing Stony Brook and Hofstra, you know, beating Stony Brook four of the last five times we played them. and coming out with a win over a great Hofstra team in 2015 and a staff that we have a lot of respect for. But getting out on Long Island in front of our alumni and our recruits and building that reputation, something that's really helped us get a lot of traction in one of the best areas in the country. And I think that's been important to us, and we're only getting stronger, and we're only getting better recruits from those spots. So I think the future is really bright for us, and that's a direct reflection of our school and the product that we have to sell to potential recruits when they get on campus.
Coach, it's been quite an active season in college across for rules and changes in recruiting. Specifically, just wondering, how have the new rules, the new recruiting rules, and the new experimentation with shot clocks have impacted your team in terms of preparing for the fall ball? And again, with the just recruiting, if you don't mind sharing, whether you thought these new rules were needed or maybe a little bit unnecessary. You know, you don't have to go too far in if you don't want to, but, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
No, I don't mind that at all. I think our staff is really happy with the new recruiting legislation specifically. Early recruiting was something that we didn't take part in. We had not talked to a single player in the 2019 class until September 1st. That's just kind of who we were as a staff and what we believed in. So we've had a lot of success there, but I think that the new legislation not only benefits us, but I think it's great for the sport. I think that's something that a lot of the coaches are seeing, you know, now being able to speak to kids when they're more mature and they've had some more experience in high school level. I think it's nothing but great for the sport. I'm glad we passed it. I'm glad that it went into effect, and I'm hopeful that, you know, there's integrity down the line with coaches and players and, you know, high school coaches and club coaches respecting those rules, because I think that's really important. You know, at the end of the day, when you reflect on it, we're educators at the end of the day, and our job is to educate young men. And I think the pressures that were being put on early recruits and freshmen and sophomore in high school was not fair to them, you know, or fair to anybody. So I think having that ability to now step back, let those players grow up and mature, and then let us do our thing and get out there and recruit. I think we're having many, many more conversations with recruits over the phone before they arrive on campus. And I think that that's tremendous. You know, building those relationships and those having those adult conversations before, you know, kids are making what's no doubt the most important decision of their life, heading into college, I think is nothing but great, you know, for the sport. And I'm really proud of the coaching body for passing that, and there were some guys that really did a lot of legwork in getting that pass, and I'm sure are really proud of it. And I think it's going to be an interesting convention this winter when we all get together and reflect on it. But as far as Marist College is concerned, we're really, really happy with how the recruiting legislation has passed and gone into effect. From a rules standpoint, we haven't done a ton with the shot clock. It's something that, you know, I think we're going to kind of wait and see how it works. We're not, you know, too crazy about the idea of it. We're really passionate about the game and the sport. And I think that some of the rules, you know, that are being discussed or advocated for, you know, have gone into effect in other sports. For instance, college basketball, they added a shot clock and a two-point line or a three-point line. And, you know, you've seen that game and how that game has adapted. So I think it's something that, you know, obviously I'm excited that they're experimenting with this fall. Looking forward to hearing the discussion about it. But as far as the new rules, you know, legislation goes, you know, we're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. It's something that's not extremely important to us at this stage. We're really passionate about the game and the history of the game, and we think that if coaches coach the right way and play the right way, and we shouldn't have to worry too much about a shot clock. We should be letting these guys play and get up and down the field and have a lot of trust in our players. So I think it comes down more to how they're being coached than it does to what the rules are implying. And we're really proud of our guys for getting up and down and playing fast. And the way they attack the game makes it really fun to watch.
Coach, one thing that some college teams have started to do, especially in the fall, is institute some box lacrosse. Ohio State does it. Johns Hopkins a few other teams, Binghamton and High Point, have done it so far this fall. What's your opinion about doing some box across drills in fall ball to help teach some players some new skills and maybe even have a little bit of fun as well?
Yeah, I think any kind of training with a stick in your hand is really important. For us at Marist, having an assistant who's had some experience playing in Canada and some box experience in Mike Gongis, it's something that he's really passionate about. And it's something that we've always built into our on-field, whether we're playing in a box or just on our regular field. A lot of those skills and those traits are things that we practice, you know, on a daily basis. So some of our drills that we're already doing, but we would love to get up and down and play some box across if we have that opportunity. Obviously, it comes down to a facilities race, and obviously some of those schools have tremendous facilities. So right now, we're out there at practice every day, but we are looking forward to, after the tournament this weekend, hopefully sitting down and mapping out some different things we want to do and teach our guys from a box standpoint to help both sides of the ball. I think it'd be tremendous, not only for an offensive skill standpoint, but also defensively to get some great work, you know, getting a shorty in the guy's hands and, you know, playing some different roles and getting some different opportunities for them. Anytime the guys are playing, we're really happy about it. I think that's something we're really lucky to have here is a lot of guys that are really passionate about the game and want to play, you know, whether they're training and shooting or they're out there on the practice field. You know, we got a lot of gym rats on this roster and guys that love to play. So I know the guys are excited about some different things that we're going to be doing later this fall.
Safe and Chris, any other lacrosse-related questions before we get into the fun stuff? I think Safe.
Coach, I wanted to provide you the opportunity to talk more about the Eddie Coombs tournament and Eddie's impact on the team and yourself. It's a wonderful story, and I think our listeners would greatly, if we haven't heard about it, would greatly love to hear more about Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eddie was an amazing young man that I had the pleasure of recruiting as an assistant coach with Scott Nelson out of Philadelphia, and we grew very close after I was hired as a head coach about a month later. Unfortunately, Eddie was killed in a car accident where he was a passenger, and I've been able to work in conjunction with Mr. and Mrs. Coombs, Eric and Tina, and Eddie's sister, Erin. Have done a tremendous job in building a foundation in his name, which is the Edward Taylor Coombs Foundation, and they do a ton of different things that help promote responsible decision-making, which I think is something that's extremely vital, especially amongst high school, you know, student-athletes and students. So Eric, Tina, and Erin have done such a great job in sharing Eddie's story and building his legacy through that foundation and sharing their mission, but also do a tremendous job of raising funds to help support different local high school students with their, you know, desire to attend college through scholarships and different things like that. One of the events that the foundation started 6 years ago was the Edward Taylor Coombs Fall Ball Lacrosse Tournament. That hosted Division One, Two, and Three men's and women's teams this year, and we started it last year where we brought the tournament actually up to Marist College for the first time to kind of take a little bit off Eric's plate because he's doing so much with the foundation. So now my staff and I run the event, and we're so thrilled to have Springfield and Merrimack coming back on the men's side, and then Marist women's team will be playing Sacred Heart in the morning. So it's a full day of lacrosse on campus. We get out in the morning. We actually start with about 100 youth campers at a clinic where they get to come out and work with our guys and get a tournament T-shirt. And then they listen to Eddie's story from Mr. Coombs, which is something that's really cool for them and a great experience before we head into the stadium and play all afternoon in front of a great crowd. And that's something that we're really grateful for is the support that we've had from the Marist administration, the athletic department, the student athletes here. It's a really, really tight and really cool group of people that are really close, and their support has helped us deal with something that was incredibly difficult. And some of the stories and the different things that have, you know, come to fruition after Eddie's passing are really special. And I can't say enough about his teammates and the guys that have graduated and how they come back and share Eddie's story and the foundation's mission with our current players. It seems like you know, each year we worry that, you know, it's going to fade a little bit, and it just continues to get stronger and stronger, and that's absolutely on the backs of our amazing alumni. So this weekend we play Springfield at 1 o'clock and then Merrimack at 4:30, and they will play each other in the middle game. But Coach Bugbee and Coach Morgan came down last year, and I can't thank them enough for continuing their support of what's a really, really special day of lacrosse.
Honor, Eddie, I believe, where do you go, Happer or Horsham, I believe?
Yeah.
So I think there was an Eddie Coombs tournament a couple, 2-3 years ago that was at Happer or Horsham. I think the D3 tournament at Happer or Horsham, if I remember right.
It was the same tournament that we used to hold at the high school. Yep, we had it there for 4 years before moving it up to Marist last year.
Very cool. And I guess to wrap up the lacrosse things, you know, in addition to, you know, having some good players come through the system, as we discussed a little bit earlier, you know, Marist has a great academic pedigree to it too. And past 2 years, you've been fortunate enough to have two senior class award candidates out of men's lacrosse. The NCAA, you know, has the best 5 or 10 seniors that not only, you know, have the best on the field, but also all the great characteristics off of it as both a student and athlete, as well as a, you know, person off the field. So, you know, as much as having all the success on the field, you know, how much pride do you take into, you know, coaching a school that, you know, puts a lot of pressure on the student athletes, and they thrive in it both on the field and in the classroom? The two senior class award candidates last year was J.D. Redcore, and the year before, Joseph Ratt.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really unique things here is that, you know, we're often painted with a brush that we're, you know, very aggressive and tough and blue-collar and kind of in your face on the field and, you know, play really hard. So often, you know, teams kind of look at us like maybe we wouldn't be that, you know, kind of student-athlete or that kind of, you know, have that kind of activity in the community because of the way we play and our attitude. And we're obviously very competitive, and we would never back down from a challenge or that. So, you know, I think our reputation on the field for being really tough and hard-nosed, you know, kind of gets misguided when you look at the fine print and you see that we've had two guys nominated for, you know, one of the most prestigious awards in the country. We've had three Scholar All-Americans in the last 3 years after only having one in the first, you know, 25, 30 years of the program. We also win our athletic department's community service initiative, something that's really important to us, is the athletic department has a competition amongst all the teams on campus in terms of community service and getting out and supporting other athletes during their games. And that's something that we've won 7 of the last 8 semesters. So that's something that we're really proud of. People don't know about. People often look past, and you know, that's a real testament to Coach Congas. He really forefronts that effort. He gets the guys out, and we've established some great relationships in the community at the Poughkeepsie Children's Home, on campus with the different teams. And I think that's something that building the entire student athlete, you know, both on the field and off the field, and also in the community, is something that's really important to us and something that we're really proud of. But Joe and JD are obviously tremendous ambassadors for our program. Guys we couldn't be more proud of. And they did an awful lot while they were here on campus. So I know that a lot of their teammates really appreciate everything that they did for us.
I have one final thing, Coach, and I don't want you to spoil it for the future, but just if you know it, if you want to tease a little bit about the schedule and what to expect from 2018 for your Red Foxes.
Yeah, we got a great schedule. Been really fortunate to develop some great rivalries out of conference that are still intact. We have some great teams that have appeared on the schedule the last couple of years that we're excited about. We also have added a couple outstanding teams. We're excited to get and play Georgetown in Maryland out of conference down in Maryland. And we're also really pumped to have an incredible team and a staff that we have really, really high respect for. We actually spent some time with them last year when they came to campus and watched practice, but we're really excited to play Yale, a team that's incredibly tough, incredibly competitive, and has had really, really a ton of success in the Ivy League. So we have our hands full. It's probably undoubtedly the most competitive schedule we've ever put together. But we've seen, you know, with where our conference has come, that we need to really, really prepare ourselves with strong out-of-conference play. And the ultimate goal is to win the league and advance in the tournament. And we think that we put together a schedule that will really help us do that.
Coach, you've been extremely gracious with your time. We don't want to take too much, but some people and some of our listeners may not know, you had quite a hectic summer, and congratulations on getting married. I don't want to put you too much on the spot. We'd love to know what's more difficult, recruiting in the summer or recruiting planning your wedding during the summer. So.
For me, recruiting, definitely, because I was really lucky that my wife, who's the head coach here on the women's side, Jess O'Brien, now Jess Wilkinson, did a ton of the work with the wedding. She really didn't want me doing a whole lot, probably mess something up. So I was able to take care of the band and kind of stay out of her way. But it was obviously a much different summer for us as we're both, you know, recruiting during that time period. Really happy, and it's been an awesome experience over the last couple months. I'm happily married.
And we always like to end it off on, you know, some fun stuff, as we said, so fun off the field stuff. So what are some of your favorite hobbies when you're off of the lacrosse field in the coach's office?
Yeah, some of my hobbies, I don't know. I wish, might have to ask somebody else that one. I'm a guy that's probably spends a little too much time in the office watching film. I'm a huge lax junkie and lax rat, and I think that's something that before I got married, it might change a little bit now, that I spent a lot of time watching film, you know, and I've taken a lot of different ideas and things from guys like Coach Petromala and Coach Tierney, some of the great defensive minds, and now some of the guys that have had great success. I spend a lot of time, you know, really sitting down and watching a lot of film and trying to get this team as prepared as possible. So I think that would be the biggest one. Hopefully moving forward, I can get a little more downtime and spend some more time on the beach, because that would definitely be number one in the books.
I definitely have one. I think Chris would enjoy this one. Coach, while during your time at St. Joe's, did you have a favorite cheesesteak place?
Oh, my God. I was about to ask him that, too.
The number one cheesesteak place is Larry's, right behind St. Joe's Gym. That's my go-to spot right there.
I actually went that place a few times.
Campus, and it's not one of those over-hyped spots downtown Philly. We love Larry's when I was there.
Really? Larry's?
What's your favorite place in Poughkeepsie to grab a bite?
We were in Philly, in Horsham, recruiting. We stopped by to see one of our guys, Jimmy Murphy, who's the Upper Horsham guy. He was working, and he cooked us up probably the worst cheesesteak I'd ever had. So I definitely wouldn't recommend getting anything from Jimmy Murphy. Hell of a player and one of the most underrated short sticks to come through the game, and somebody that was a big part of our success the last 4 years that we really, really are going to miss him, but he's an awful cook and a terrible cheesesteak.
But now in your current home of Poughkeepsie, do you have any favorite eateries or anything, or any other favorite spots to, you know, maybe go out for a day? It doesn't have to be a restaurant, but, you know, a hike up the Hudson River or something.
Yeah, if you're in town, if you're coming through town for a game or on a recruiting visit, you're absolutely stopping at Rossi's Deli in Poughkeepsie. It's a staple. All the alums, when they're back on campus, probably the first place they stop is going into Rossi's and seeing those guys, a family that's been there since 1976, I think. They do all of our meals, and we get a little worked up because a lot of the teams that come into town often visit there. I know that the guys at Detroit love stopping into Rossi's as well. It's definitely the best spot in town, no doubt.
Any other questions from the team?
I actually have another kind of funner lacrosse question for you, Coach. So with the move of Cleveland State, especially a couple years back, and now soon to be Utah moving out west, how do you see the sport growing nationwide in a few years, especially that westward expansion, hopefully maybe south expansion as well?
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. Something that Mike and I, my assistant, did this summer, we actually got out west probably 3 or 4 times working different camps and recruiting, and I couldn't say enough about the level of lacrosse out there, so I'm not going to be surprised if we continue to see teams pop up and obviously getting some great teams over the last couple of years and getting some great coaches, some different opportunities, you know, to lead programs. We've seen it with Marquette and Cleveland State and now Utah. You know, there's a lot of promise for programs down the line, and hopefully people are watching and taking notes because it's exciting, you know, and it's definitely really crowded over here on the East Coast. We would love to get more teams out west.
Ready? Last call for Safe and Chris.
No, Coach. Thank you so much. This was really fun. You've been far too gracious with your time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Coach, for joining us. I know you're all busy with full bowl and everything, so taking some time out to have a little fun podcast with you is awesome. It's been awesome having you as a guest, and thanks for hopping on board College Crosscast.
Yeah,
absolutely, guys. I appreciate the opportunity. Would love to talk to you at any time, and anytime we can get out and talk about our great program at Marist, I welcome that, and I can't thank you guys enough for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Not a problem. Best of luck to you and the Red Foxes with the rest of Fall Bowl in this upcoming season.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Take care, Coach.
So we thank Coach Wilkinson for joining on board. We hope you had fun listening to him and hearing a little bit about where he and the Marist Red Foxes are heading in definitely a great direction, and very good to hear his insights on the game and everything like that. We'll be back with the next College Crosscast whenever we get around to doing another one. It's obviously still the off season, so we'll periodically have these podcasts. Fall Bowl is going on right now, and also stick with College Cross for any late breaking news throughout Fall Bowl, as well as some analysis if any results look interesting at all. College_Cross is our Twitter handle. That's at @college_cross. That's on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram with that. Follow us on Facebook at College Cross. I'm at RyanMcD29. Safe is at @Airy_Barrister. And Chris is at CF. You know his last name. Otherwise, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. Leave us some awesome reviews. Tell us how awesome we are. And all that fun stuff. We'll be back at it when we're back at it. But subscribing will get it to you as soon as we're done recording. So from all of us here at College Cross, we thank you for listening. Enjoy Fall Bowl. And as always, stay hydrated.